with you all, and we're from the other side of the pond, and we're seeking the Lord there. You're seeking the Lord here. He's speaking to us in our gatherings. He's sending us out doing similar things. I'm so grateful for the privilege of being able to worship with the body of Christ here in London with you. And Darren and his dear friends, he tells us about you and about the ways you're listening and obeying. And so I just trust that this morning will be another part of all that. We have this assignment. I was told by Darren, preach on this. So I didn't even have to seek the Lord. I just, what happens when we pray? I mean, we could just open up a conversation and take guesses at it, but I've given it some thought and some prayer. And one of the things that really came clear to me is if we want to know what happens when we pray, if we want to learn more about that, we have to pay attention to our hearts. There's such a dynamic connection between what happens when we pray and what's going on with our hearts. So really, this is maybe another question, maybe to me even more important. How's your heart this morning? Really, I'm asking you, how's your heart? Think about it for a moment. How'd you come in this morning? How's your heart? How was it engaging in worship? How was your heart in worship? How was your heart this morning? It really impacts how you pray, and what happens in prayer is directly linked to your heart. Is your heart grateful, joyful? Is it expectant this morning? It's legal just to be honest. How many say amen to that? Maybe you didn't come in with that heart. Maybe you came in burdened or broken or distracted or maybe disappointed. Would you agree with me? That kind of could impact prayer. I came today with a bit of a distracted heart. Just to be really honest, with a worried heart. How many ever had a worried heart? That impacts my praying. I got a message. I got on the plane in Seattle to come here last night and got the message, hey, mom's in the hospital, critical care. And she's coughing up blood and can't stop doing it. How many know that that type of message can affect your heart? And it can impact prayer. What happens in prayer when you get a message like that? Well, it could lead us to desperation, or it could lead us to distraction. But that's what I want to talk about today. How is our heart? How is our heart engaged in prayer? I mean, I want my heart to become more fully alive. If there are ways we can participate with God to see that happen, I would love to have a heart like those disciples who were in a conversation with Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus. They were talking to him. They were listening to him. Just like we can do in prayer, we can talk to God. We can listen to him. And as they were describing the impact of that interaction to their friends, they said this, "Were not our hearts burning?" Now that would impact a prayer life if our hearts were burning from some sort of communion. And that's really what prayer is. I wrote this in my journal recently. What happens in prayer has everything to do with what is happening in my heart. As prayer is the profound act of communion that unites the heart of a human with the heart of God. Something's happening in that communion. When you pray, you are with God. You are the supernatural provision of conversation that's been enabled by God at his initiation, that we could talk to God and he actually receives it and hears it, and that we could listen to God and he's really speaking and we can hear. This is what prayer is. This supernatural, mysterious, but very real communication from one heart to another heart, from that heart back to my heart. So how's your heart this morning? Would you just bow your heart, your head and your heart for just a moment? I just want to bless you as we look into these thoughts from the scriptures this morning. I bless you. I bless your heart. right now. Can you receive it? I bless your heart now with openness and with expectation. God is in the room. I can listen to him and hear him. And he's longing to hear my voice. I bless you with openness and expectation to that reality as we learn what happens when we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, would you stand? We're going to read Matthew 22, 34 through 40. If you want to look at it in the printed Bible in your chairs there, it's page 937. It'll be on the screen. So whatever feels good. All right, I think I have it on the screen. Can we bring up the next? Oh, I'm supposed to control it. Oh, I was told that's what this thing in my hand is for. Okay. All right. Could we give it a whirl or read it together? Would that be all right? All right. I don't know if I'm breaking rules or whatever. Let's do it together. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Okay, you may be seated. The greatest commandment, everything hangs on this. It seems like, how many would agree with me? It seems like a bit of an important thing that Jesus is pointing out. It's almost as though he's saying, oh, that's easy. What's the biggest, most important thing? Everything depends on it. Here's what it is. It's the way in which we connect with God and one another. Love the Lord with all our heart, our mind, our soul. Love our neighbor as ourselves. We'll see in a minute how important that is. And if it's the most important, if everything hangs on this, then the principles packaged in that response of Jesus quoting Scripture should apply to prayer. Would you agree with me? Like how I approach prayer obviously has to do with my heart. How I approach prayer, my heart obviously has something to do with my mind and my will, my soul. It's the real me. It's the living center of every human being. Jesus says that's what's most important, that is engaged in a dynamic connection with God and with neighbor, with people. And we want to bring that into prayer. Jesus is describing wholehearted devotion. I want to bring up an image of really what the picture that's painted in the scriptures of what your heart is. Because I want to be wholehearted. I'm thinking of prayer. I want to pray with a whole heart, my whole heart. And both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we put all these pieces together, including our text from Matthew 22 this morning. It's really the heart. It's the life center, but it's made up of these three realms. The mind, the realm of thinking, the soul, the realm of feeling, the realm of emotion, the realm of spirit, passion, and the will, the realm of doing, the realm of how we respond. That's your heart. Your heart is meant to be those three areas, alive with the Spirit and functioning together. That's the complete picture of what the mind. How many know that we can have a divided heart? One of these areas can be shut down or distracted. And I just want you to know, what God wants to do is in prayer, bring these things around so that they're fully alive, collaborating with each other. And that is the best way to represent ourself to God in prayer and to be the kind of disciple that he's created us to be, that we're fully alive in our mind, in our soul, and our will. So we're going to talk about that. So what happens when we pray? Well, in wholehearted prayer, you can first of all align your mind with the truth. How many know that life goes better If our minds are aligned to the truth as opposed to not. And how many know that we live in a very wordy world? It's a very wordy world. The very air we're breathing in here is filled all, we can't see them, but radio waves and technology is shooting words through, and we go out on the streets, there's billboards, and we look at social media, and it's jammed with messages. How many of them are true? We live in a wordy world, and if we want to have a heart that's been able to engage with God fully in prayer and hearing Him and being able to respond according to truth, we need to take those thoughts captive, and we need to learn what that can look like. I want to love the Lord with how much of my mind? All my mind. How do we do this? I think it's by making space to soak in Scripture and to listen to God. There could be many other things, but with just to narrow it down for this morning, how can we get our mind to become aligned with the truth and to truth, capital T, Jesus, and to truth, the word that He has whispered into the world that the apostles wrote and recorded that we hold on to this day. How do we do it? How do we align our minds with the truth? I think first by making space to soak in Scripture, and I think make space to listen to God. How many know that He's still speaking today? He still loves to give His shout of love, His shout of truth to bring us into alignment to who He is and what He's made available to us. Engaging with Scripture prayerfully, I'm telling you, it's one of the ways that that God has designed for you and I to have an experience where our mind is being renewed. How many know you have neural pathways that sometimes can, these neural pathways can you know, instinctively send us a message that's not true, but we've listened to it or heard it so many times, it feels true. How many know sometimes something that's not true can feel true? And what happens is when we soak in Scripture, those neural pathways can be massaged and actually altered. This is just brain science that they're learning, that when you bring yourself into an environment that's rerouting those neural pathways over and over. And that's when you soak in Scripture, when you develop a pattern in your life of presenting yourself before Scripture, knowing that God works through the Word of God, our minds become aligned to the truth. How many know that life works better if your mind is aligned to the truth? I want that for you. I want that for me. I've found that just having a daily pattern of sitting before the Lord, opening the Word, having something, I don't have to think about it every day, so I have a rhythm. I know where I'm going to, like, I don't have to, like, what will I read in the Word today? I just go to my little place where I do. I open my Scripture. There it is. That's where I'm starting today. I want to bless you with that idea. Jesus had patterns. It says that very early in the morning He got up and went and found a place and He prayed. I just bless you with the openness, if you don't have one. Many of you do. But if you don't, the openness, the idea of having a pattern of soaking in Scripture. And it's not how much, it's just a place of bringing ourselves in alignment to the truth. Amen? And then a bit of time so that we create space to also know that Scripture speaks, but the Spirit speaks. God speaks through the written word. God speaks through the whispers of His Spirit. And how many know that you can just create a little space just where we're quiet? We can pop a question to God and then just be quiet and listen. I usually set out my journal and just kind of get ready for the spontaneous thought that might come to me. And don't you love the grace and mercy of God that we can just be quiet and sit in His love and His grace, knowing that He loves us like a father or mother loves their child and just whispers things to them? I want my mind to become aligned to the whispers of God that often, if you looked at my journal, you would see, because I changed pen colors. How many know changing pen colors is super anointed and annoying for some of you, but anointed as well. Yeah, so I change my pen color when I'm listening to God and I begin to write those things. Sometimes I'll pop up with another question. Well, as you say that, Lord, I'm wondering this. If you haven't done it, I want to encourage you to experiment with listening prayer. You just quiet yourself, you gaze upon Jesus, and you just say, Lord, here I am. Is there anything you want to speak to me through my my thoughts? Maybe make a scripture pop to the top. Maybe it's a feeling I have, but I'm sitting here. I'm just open. I'm not going to make something. I'm not going to make something up. And then we just begin to journal that. I found that this can be really important. So while you're doing that, something can happen that's really important. While you're reading and listening to the truth, it's helping us get aligned. The lies that we're living under can be exposed. Something that's not true. And when you're facing the truth, it's like the lie will stand out. Does that make sense? And what do you do with that? Paul tells us, take every thought captive. If you're taking notes, that's 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. That's what we want to do. We want to take every thought captive, to make those thoughts of ours, to bring them in alignment to truth. We say, whoa, that one's not in alignment. We live in a wordy world. Oops, there's one of them that's not true, that's trying to shape my direction of my life. And what do? I call it the four R's. This is what you do from 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. First of all, you recognize, oh, there it is. That is not true. I recognize the lie. Second R, what do? After you recognize it, you repent of it. You renounce it. The two things you do, repent, renounce. I was believing that. I was going in that direction. I recognize that is not true, so I turn away, I repent, I turn, and I renounce it. I open myself to it, now I shut myself off from it. That's renounce. Does that make sense? So I recognize it, whoa, that's not true. I repent of it, I turn away from it, and I replace it with the truth. The third R, I replace it with the truth, and I announce the truth. The lie was, I'm not loved except if I perform well. That's a lie I believe. Anybody else ever heard that one? Or somebody else that you know has lived under the performance lie? Nobody? Let me see a hand. Okay, yeah. All right, the rest of you are just your arms hurt because you can't raise them, right? Yeah, well, that lie, I've had to replace it with the truth. So how many know there are scriptures that talk about God's love for me apart from my performance? And I've had to soak in those scriptures, and it's washed my mind and helped me live in alignment with the truth. I want to bless you with those three, and then the fourth one is this, just remain in the truth. Well, once I recognize, renounce, replace it, how many know 15 minutes I need to, come back to it again. I need to remain in it. So I have to have some kind of way of remembering this truth. Sometimes I take a truth that's really important for me to keep aligned, and I'll write it down and maybe just stick it on the mirror or a place of prominence, or make it a morning ritual, like, let's rehearse the truth that I need to stay aligned to. So I just want to bless you with that. Okay, so first of all, we want to align our mind with the truth. It's the second one. In wholehearted prayer, you can acquire a soul. Remember the second one, a soul on fire and free. How do we do this? Again, it's by creating space. In prayer, this is what's happening. You're creating space for the Spirit to work. You're just giving room for the Spirit to work. You're just slowing down to open up to the reality of God's presence. How many know God is always with us everywhere? But in prayer, we're recognizing it. We're making space for the Spirit to work, for the Spirit to fill us afresh, for the Spirit to purify us, for the Spirit to heal us and set us free. That's the realm of the soul. The realm of the soul is a realm of the Spirit. And how many know we leak? That's why the scriptures don't just talk about this initial infilling of the Holy Spirit, but as Paul says in Ephesians, he says, go on being filled. It must be because we need to replace something that's leaked out. or we've been distracted by. So God is so gracious. We want our spirit, we want our soul on fire. How many agree with me? That'd be nice to have a heart that's renewed and on fire. I find that that's really helpful for me in terms of my prayer life. It has everything to do with about how expectant I am, how much faith I'm actually exercising towards something. Is it my heart on fire, or is it kind of dry? How many, raise your hand if you say, I know the difference between my heart being on fire and not being on fire. Raise your, okay. And now raise your hand if you say, I would rather it be on fire. Okay, yeah, me too. Amen. And this is what happens in prayer when we hang before a God who is the fire. My favorite place to go in the, you know, kind of my sanctified imagination, I'm in a cave and there's a big fire in the middle. And God is that fire, and his presence is the smoke that's getting on me. I say, Lord, make me smoky for you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you with the reality that you can acquire a soul on fire, but also free. Also free. By applying, as the Spirit guides you, to apply the gospel to your past pain and failures. This is what happens in prayer. In prayer, we have the scriptures, we have the presence of God and his Holy Spirit. He's bringing to mind, oh, that loss hurts my heart. I need to make more space for God. And he loves me so much, he brings up something I haven't lamented. He brings up something that I haven't confessed. He brings up something because he loves me when I'm in prayer that I, someone I haven't forgiven. And so our hearts are unhealthy to the degree our soul is holding on to this unfinished business. And God loves us, and in prayer brings these things up, not to haunt us, but to free us. So we apply the gospel to our past pain and failures. We lament our losses. We confess our sins. We forgive those who have wounded us. We're being set free. And then the Spirit has more space to fill us. Amen? That's a heart. It's a heart that it's a mind aligned. It's a soul that's on fire and free. And thirdly, it's a will bent on obedience. In wholehearted prayer, you can amplify a will bent on obedience. How? By creating space to surrender to Jesus as Lord. This is something I think we could emphasize more as followers of Jesus. The importance of surrendering and resurrendering to Jesus as Lord. I'm not Lord. In prayer, this is what happens. I'm with the Lord. I'm being washed over by his Spirit, and his word is, I'm soaking in it. And this reality, oh, the revelation from Scripture and the shout of the Spirit to my heart is, Jesus is Lord. Not you, not anyone else, nothing else. The first followers of Jesus, this was their shout, Jesus is Lord, and that got you killed in the first century. How many know that there is a world trying to call us into submission and surrender to many lesser gods? And in prayer, something's happening in the realm of our will that says, I will not bow my knee to another. Something's happening in this kind of prayer, with wholehearted prayer, a mind aligned, a soul on fire and free, that I say, I can see the truth and I can be brave to stand in it. Jesus is Lord. Spending time in prayer with Jesus is just transformative. Paul writes in Philippians 2, he says, it is God who is at work within us to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do you hear that? It is God who is at work within us to will and to act according to his good purpose. When you hang with God in prayer, there's this concentrated reality, this mystery that God is working in you. What? Working in you, just washing over you, filling you, influencing you. How? Till you get up from prayer, you want to do God's will. There's a greater desire to do God's will. And because you've aligned your mind with the truth, and you've got your soul has been stirred with freshness, with aliveness, you can see what God wants you to do, and you can be motivated for it as well. Amen? This is what can happen in prayer. This is what can happen in prayer. So, prayer creates desire that's aligned with the truth, that's sourced by a soul that's on fire and free. And it's just, God is just inviting you and me to believe this and to experiment with this, to put it into practice. I want to bless you and bless your mind, your soul, and your will this morning. Would you just stand? We want to transition to taking this talk and putting it into our walk. How many know that what I think the vision of this gathering, of this fellowship of believers, is we gather to grow, but would you agree with me, we scatter to serve. That this is about that. But you know what's really cool is when we are together, we can experiment. We can begin to do in this room what we want to do in other rooms all over the city. Amen? In fact, that's the great purpose of our gatherings and of leadership. Did you know it's not to do the stuff, it's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So I just want to bless you with that this morning. Would you just open your palms of your hand and say, that's, Lord, just an outward sign. It's what my heart is. My heart is open right now to you. And so I, in the name of Jesus, I humbly stand just in the name of Jesus. I bless your heart to be wholehearted. Wherever you're at, just to know the Lord knows where you're at, loves where you're at, meets you where you're at, and woos you into the reality that he has more for your heart. I bless your mind to be aligned to the truth. I bless your soul to be on fire and free. And I bless your will to be bent on obedience. Amen. Hey, just stay standing for a minute. We want to close with this question that we started with this morning. What happens when we pray? Are you curious? I thought, why don't we just experiment and find out, right? Is that what we want to do now, or do you want to sing first, or